This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. Now, I want all of America to hear the truth. And normally at this time, we're in the Gospel of John, and I would tell you to open your Bibles to John chapter 7, verse 25, where we left off last time. However, I have been around the world on the back of a whale in a big storm, and he used an imposter's name. He's called Matthew, and he even used an apostle's name. And so my lights have been out. I've been sitting in the dark, twiddling my thumbs, and God had plan B. So today we're going to take a field trip. So please open your King James Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. And then next week we'll resume it in John, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation in the Greek means apocalypse. And apocalypse, listen carefully, means to unveil, to reveal, to uncover. So when you hear someone say you're not supposed to know the book of Revelation, the very name means to reveal it. And God dictated it by the angel of Jesus in 96 A.D. to the beloved disciple, Apostle John. And so we began. Revelation is a prophecy of these end times. The truth is, I believe this was by God's design, not the hurricane, but the fact that he's got me doing this, because we are in Revelation now, and there's a blessing to hear it, and you're supposed to understand that Revelation tells you what's happening. So here we go.
The Revelation to John, the Apocalypse, chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass.
Now, when he says shortly, it didn't mean from that time, 96 A.D. It means that at end times, things are moving fast. We're not right now in the fifth trump. It is quickly coming to an end. The sixth trumpet is about to sound. We've got five seals have already happened. The sixth one's about to happen. Five trumpets are coming to an end. So everything is moving quickly. Everything's accelerated. In other words, the reaper overtakes the sower.
And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
Anytime it says the angel of the Lord in the Bible, it means the very presence of the Lord himself. Remember when the angel of the Lord came to Abraham to tell him that he and Sarah were going to have a son, Isaac, a year from then, and Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100, and she laughed? Okay, that was the Lord.
Verse 2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ.
So he wrote it down.
And of all things that he saw. 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
See, every time that you read, you're reading it now with me, and you're hearing me saying it. That gives you a double whammy blessing. That's a double portion blessing every time you read it. But if you keep it, that doesn't mean that you just hold it in your hand. It means if you walk in it. See, we're actually walking in Revelation right now. We're actually in the fifth trump. We're walking in it. Do you know I make it a personal habit of reciting every morning, in addition to everything else, when my time with God? As a matter of fact, I have this entire first chapter memorized, and I do this not only to keep myself up with God, but because I need a blessing so I can do his work. So I would suggest that you read a portion of Revelation every day, and he says there's a blessing in it. How about that? You're getting blessed now. I'm blessing you.
4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia.
Now, at that time, there were seven Christian churches, and they were in a circle, and they were in Asia. But I want you to understand that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 that these things happened to them, them who, these people in the Bible, as an example for those of us who are come to the end of this age. That would be us. So what this is symbolizing is that seven is God's perfect number. It means the Christian churches, and you couldn't be Christian unless you'd been saved and washed by the precious, perfect blood of Jesus, and a round circle on planet Earth. So understand that while that was in the natural, it is addressed right now, here at the end, while you're hearing my voice, on all of the Christian churches on round planet Earth. So if you're a Christian and you go to anything, call itself a church, even if you don't, you are a church, you are the ecclesia. Then, in other words, this is addressed to you right here at the end. Understand?
Yes.
Okay.
Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come.
Now, that's Almighty God, our Father.
And from the seven spirits which are before his throne.
Okay. Father God is sitting on the throne, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and there are seven spirits before him. Now, in Psalm 105, God says, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. And Jesus says in Matthew, speaking of his very elect, if you harm one of my little ones, he's not talking about little children like our sweet Olivia and Max. He's talking about his elect. He calls us little children. If you hurt one of my little ones, it were better for you that a millstone hung about your neck and you were drowned in the depths of the sea to hurt one of my little ones. There, have that. Then he says in Matthew, he says, for in heaven there are angels. Who's he talking about? The elect, not every Christian, the elect. 7,000, Romans 11. Their angels do always have the face of my Father at any time which is in heaven. So we have the Father sitting on the throne, facing his face are these seven. These have spirits, angels. They have the attention of God. When one of God's very elect, that's not every Christian, the elect who are chosen from before the foundation of the earth, Ephesians 1:4, because the elect did not betray God in the first earth age when we were in our spiritual body, when Satan rebelled, and God needs the elect to carry forth the oracles of truth and needs us to win this battle at the end. If one of us gets in the trouble, that angel right then comes to our rescue. May I use my twin friend Scott Merson? He has a produce place. He was driving his great big truck back from market where he buys that beautiful produce. And another truck came right head on to Scott Mercer, lights in there. Scott only had no place to go. There was a ditch and there was a telephone pole. And suddenly Scott finds himself in a parking area that is only big enough for Scott's great big old produce truck. One of those angels was given by God, go and take care of Scott. That was what it was, Scott. Praise the Lord. Let's all clap our hands. Hallelujah. Thank you. Now, some years ago, a man I thought was my friend, out of the blue, just began to choke me, and he choked me, and he choked me. I was going in, there was no more breath, and I knew that I was dying because I couldn't, there was nothing left in me. All of a sudden, he just quit. And so, God sent one of those angels, just pulled his hands back. It did damage my throat, even to this day, singing and speaking. I couldn't speak for 3 days, but I'm still talking to you, are I not?
Yeah.
Okay, but see, that was the angel of the Lord. And we could go on and on. I know Scott, you can, I can too, many times driving a car, everything, many things. And so, now, everybody has angels. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear you, and he gives his angels charge over you. All Christians are under the protection of angels. But these are seven, especially for the elect, so that the elect can finish the assignment to bring forth the end here as it is written in God's word. Understand?
Yes.
Okay.
5. And from Jesus Christ,
well,
who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead.
Now he's saying this message is from God the Father, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, which are those seven spirits are led by the Holy Spirit, so that they're filled with that, and then the elect are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it says Jesus is the first begotten of the dead. Now, if you read your Bible, you will know that in the Old Testament, that the prophet Elisha raised from the dead that woman's little boy. Remember, she brought her little dead boy to Elisha and said, all is well, and here, you gave me this, you prayed for me to have this son, he's dead, bring him back alive. So Elisha prayed and God brought him back alive. We also know that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. There was a funeral march and the widow of Nain had her dead son in the casket there. Jesus raised him from the dead. So why is this? Because Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. God the Father is God Senior, and God Jesus is God Junior. Jesus is the very essence of God. He came from God the Father's DNA. He is the only Emmanuel God with us that willingly died and was raised from the dead.
And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
He shed his blood. Why the blood? Because the life is in the blood. God has the law. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins.
Sex, who hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father.
Okay. Now, you just read it there. This is talking to Christians. He has made you a king and a priest. Some Christians don't act like that, do you? What does a king do? A king has authority. A king has said, do that, go there, decree a thing, take your signet ring, and it's done. Now, we just had Hurricane Matthew. King Scott Merson and King Sherry Medlock, we got together, and we spoke taking the authority, not prideful, but knowing the scriptures that he said he made us kings and priests. And we held up our hands and spoke to Hurricane Matthew and said, we resist you and you cannot touch and land on the state of Florida. If you notice, Matthew never did make the landfall. He blew his hot breath, but he did a little damage there, but he never did land. We have authority over that in Jesus' mighty name. Luke 10:19, Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Many of you sit down under everything because you do not take your authority. And when we take that authority, we're not doing it to get a new car or a new job. We're taking the authority to get God's work would go on, because Scott and I needed to get the program off with the whole for America to atone, come home. So we had the legal right in heaven to do that, and God backed us up. What does a priest do? A priest teaches with the anointing of the Holy Spirit God's word and prophesies God's word. As a priest, you have a right to go into the Holy of Holies. You may hold up a petition in your hand, a person, a city, a state, or a nation. Angela, remember I said that you feel the power, you feel the love for a nation or a city or state. You may hold them in your hand, or a presidential candidate, or one another. You may hold them. If you watch me, I will go and I walk and I look up and I have my hands. You hold them in your hands and you go before the throne of God and you intercede, for you have this right. He holds out a scepter to you and God will answer your prayer if that prayer is according to God's word, and a priest would know God's word and do it. All of you have that power. But see, you must know the word of God and you must walk in the word of God.
To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen.
Now, this dispels the lie that is being taught in the Christian church, that you're going to be out of here, that Jesus is coming early and going to snatch you up. That is the lie, fly proverb. Ezekiel 13, God says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. Every eye shall see him. He's not coming on a secret snatch away. When he comes at the seventh trump, every eye shall see him.
8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending.
Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last, but it means in biblical numerics 800. Now, 8 is a number of new beginnings, but when it's got 2 zeros, it means new beginning. God says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it in the heart of man the things God's got prepared for those that love him. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. Revelation 22 means in the Greek will never be born. New beginnings. In other words, I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm never going to end. And when you're in him, you always have new beginnings. We're on a new beginning now. We're in a new season. Yes.
Saith the Lord. Which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, within the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Now, John was the beloved disciple. They had actually boiled him in oil, and he would not fry. His skin was falling off of him, hot oil, and they boiled him in it. And they threw his body with the skin peeling on this rock island Patmos. Listen to me. They did everything they could to keep John from writing the book of Revelation. But the Revelation book is one of the most, it is right now the book you need to know. It's what's happening. And it's got the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ's testimony, to know you what's coming, tell you what's coming down so you will not be deceived. They brought everything to boiling him in oil and throwing on a rock island to die. Now, if you're an elect, and some of you are, the devil will boil you in oil and fight you and shoot you and knock you down and cause people to lie about you and take everything you've got and punch you out. But if you will not give up, though you are down, you persevere in faith and God will bring you to the other side of the storm and your purpose and your destiny will be filled. Be honored about it. The devil knows who the elect are. So if you're on his hit list, just say, thank you, Lord.
Amen. 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day.
Oh, okay. The Lord's Day, you would read that, you would think, oh, that must be what they call the Sabbath. No. The Lord's Day is the seventh trump, the last one out. A trump is an event, lights, camera, action. After the Antichrist, Jesus comes at the seventh trump. That is when Jesus comes. And a day with the Lord is as a thousand years. There will be 1,000 years with Jesus right here on earth, not in the sky somewhere, and the elect teaching, but we'll all be in our spiritual bodies. So now God takes John, Jesus takes John, to yet what is our future, but not too long from now, to the day that Jesus comes and he's going to show him things in heaven, things happening for us right now in the first earth age and the future heaven on earth.
And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet.
There was a trumpet of truth.
11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia.
Now, I want every church around planet Earth to have this book of Revelation. Remember, it's a symbol. Seven churches, all the Christian churches, symbolically, on round planet Earth. Write the book of Revelation, is what it is, Revelation 1:22, and send this book to every Christian church. If Jesus is going to send a book to every Christian church, what would we do with it? We would open it and study it, right?
Unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna.
Now we're going to break these down. There are seven churches here. Ephesus means permitted. These are not the names of the churches, but it is a characteristic. So this is one of the type Christian churches that we have now. Ephesus has permitted traditions of men to make void the word of God. They have substituted men's sermons instead of God's word. There's nothing in there for says to man to make a sermon. I know somebody says, well, Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, so preach the Sermon on the Mount. It's in the book. And they've also to teach books. The man will write a book. I know of a man on the air, very famous, and he wrote a book about Revelation, got it all wrong, but he's teaching his book. And they do things like that. So that is Ephesus. Now Smyrna, the second one here, this one pleases. We're going to find that out of all of the types, there's seven types. It doesn't mean seven churches around planet Earth. Only two types please him. Smyrna means the fig tree. They tell you the power of the fig tree. We do that. But Smyrna will tell you who those are, who say they are Jews but are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. In other words, Jew, the word should be Eudas, either our brother Judah, but in this case, it's not our beloved brother Judah, whom we love. It would be the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, the descendants of Cain. And Cain is a child of the devil because Satan beguiled Eve in the garden, and the child was Cain. And so, see, you heard it here. Where do you hear that? You don't get that, do you? You just think it was a piece of fruit. He spoke in symbology. All right, this type church pleases him. The anointing of Elisha always tells you the two fathers. See, Satan fathered Cain, and his descendants are Kenites, and so Smyrna tells you that.
And unto Pergamus.
Pergamus means commerce and high and lifted up. Big money. Every time you turn around, they're begging for money. If you hear them on the radio, the television, they'll say, you can get the pastor's notes for such an offering. I never even think of such a thing. Always the begathon. And big money, big money, big money. And of course, they're very famous and they're very, very rich. Big and high. And the people say they must know it because they're so big and rich. Listen to me, Christian. Don't ever follow the crowd. There's a wide, wide road that leads to eternal destruction. And many there be that go in there. I don't ever follow the crowd. There's a few small sheep that find the narrow path. You want to go the path less traveled, as Robert Frost says.
And unto Thyatira and unto Sardis.
Okay, Thyatira worships Apollo, this type. You say, well, who is Apollo? In Revelation 9, the king of the bottomless pit, who will be the Antichrist, is called Abaddon, the destroyer, that's the devil, also called Apollon, which means perdition. In Ezekiel 28, Tyrus, the devil, has been sentenced to perdition, to perish from within. So this type Christian church leads everybody to worship the devil. You say, what? A Christian church? They don't mean to. They teach the Margaret MacDonald of 1832 lie that Jesus is going to come and fly you out of here before the Antichrist comes. That first one coming, calling himself Christ, is the devil. Six trumpets sounds before seven. But since they teach the lifelong proverb, which God says not to do in Ezekiel 13, and since they say that air means to go up into the sky instead of what it really means, that you change into your spirit body when Jesus comes, they're leading most of the body of Christ to worship Apollon or the devil. They do it in ignorance. But the road to hell is paved with ignorance, don't you think?
And unto Philadelphia.
I left out one, they did.
And unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamus, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis.
Sardis, I left out Sardis. Sardis means tolerance. This type of Christian church tolerates, they call good evil and evil good. Now, I want to say right now, I am not a homophobe. I taught a whole bunch of homosexual gays and lesbians. I loved them as human beings. But God says it's an abomination. Go take your clothes off and look at your body. Use that thing in your head. You know better. And God says that's an abomination. This type church, even in the clergy now, are calling what God calls an abomination, allowing these to teach. They're also taking out the crosses and putting in Muslim prayer rugs, and they're calling it, Scott, we talked about this in our program, Chrislam, combining Islam with Christianity, calling it Chrislam. And this is being done in one of the bigger denominations. I won't name any names, but that's going on right now. Now remember, the only two of these that please the Lord. Let's get one that pleases him, because we're this one.
And to Philadelphia.
Philadelphia means brotherly love. Philadelphia, like Smyrna, tells you who those are who say they are Jews but are not, but the synagogue of Satan. See, we have the Elijah anointing here. The Elijah anointing always tells you the two fathers. Satan beguiled Eve in the garden, bore Cain. Cain's descendants are the Kenites. But they call themselves our beloved brother Judah and give our brother Judah a bad rap. We love our brother Judah. So you've heard it here.
And unto Laodicea.
Laodicea means lukewarm, room temperature. God says, I'd rather you be cold or hot. He cannot stand lukewarm. For God's sake, get up and do something. Make a stand, say something, do something. For God's sake, don't sit there and stare. It makes him sick to his stomach. Lukewarm, calling yourself alive, but you're half dead. So these are the type churches. And he says, send it to all of these churches around planet Earth. Now, if you're going to one of the types that does not please him, I think you need to pray about that. Amen. But we're Smyrna in Philadelphia over here, and we welcome you, and I never pass a basket.
12, and I turned to see the voice that speak with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man.
Now he's going to describe Jesus in Jesus' transfigured body. This would be what Peter and James and John saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus just kind of morphed himself into this. Listen to this description.
Clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle.
The paps would be the breast, and the heart is in the breast, and the gold is the truth. This is a heart that gives you the truth.
14, his head and his hairs were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. 15, and his feet were like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace.
Why is there fire so associated with God? Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. And he calls his elect firebrands. But see, you can be in that fire and it just warms you, like his spirit was here when we were singing music and praising him. But of course, it will destroy in the lake of fire those who do not love him.
And his voice is the sound of many waters.
Revelation 15 says the waters of the sea are the people. So see, every time you're the body, Jesus is the head. Every time you, as an elect, speak and declare the word of God, that is, you are speaking, that is Jesus speaking through you. So you see, you want to speak the word of God, but you don't have Holy Spirit. And that will be the voice of Jesus representing his voice.
16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword.
Now what goes out of your mouth? The tongue, right? What do you do with your tongue? You speak. And it says in Hebrews, his word is more powerful than a two-edged sword. It cuts asunder, even to dividing of joints and marrow, even between the soul and the spirit. The tongue of Jesus Christ can cut the disease out, or it can cut the bull out. Hallelujah.
And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen.
Behold means look here. Jesus says, I'm alive. I was dead. Hey, look here. I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Jesus is so happy to be alive. Amen. Let's everybody say amen. You think he's a boring God? No. If you had died on a cross and arisen from the dead, would you say, I'm alive. Amen. No. Amen. He's happy.
And have the keys of hell and of death.
He defeated death, whose name is the devil. He went and preached to those prisoners all the way back to Noah and set the captive free. And he sets you free. And he's got the keys. You can go to heaven or you can go to hell. Which will you choose?
19, write the things which thou hast seen.
Write it down, John.
And the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks.
Now Jesus is going to explain the parable like he does the sower. So when he explains it, we don't have to say anything.
The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches.
Okay, an angel means a messenger. So this means the one who is appointed by God, the man or woman, over all the Christian churches on round planet Earth. Jesus says, send the book of Revelation to them. Why? So that we can teach it to you. That's what we're doing right now. So don't ever let anyone tell you they don't need the book of Revelation. In every Christian church on round planet Earth, and right now, it should be taught at least once a year. We just recently taught the entire book. But you need to refresh your memory, and I'm glad we're getting to do this today. In other words, it should be because we are in it now. It's not about it. It's not going to be. We're walking in it right now. So every pastor, teacher, preacher, elder, priest, whatever you call yourself of God's word, everybody on round planet Earth in every Christian church is supposed to be teaching the entire book of Revelation. Revelation 1 through 22, chapter, verse, and line.
And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
And of course the seven churches are to shine. I pray you are blessed. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Now next week we'll resume our teaching back in John, and we'll be in John 7 beginning with verse 25. Right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery. And I want to welcome man of God, my twin friend Scott Merson. Welcome, Scott.
Well, thank you, Miss Sherry. It was a great word tonight.
Thank you.
Especially after that storm we just went
through. We need it. We just got through the storm. We needed encouragement, didn't we?
We did.
See a picture of Jesus. Wow.
That was a great illustration, too, of exercising that authority, too.
Authority, yeah. And I know it, because we had the storm. We could have died in it, couldn't we?
Yeah, that was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, we have our first question. The wicked are getting away with their evil. Is there any hope?
Yes, God's word. Psalm 37 is called an acrostic psalm. An acrostic is something God hides in his word for the very elect's sake. And there are three verses there that have a secret in them. And it says, first of all, it says, wait patiently for the Lord. Fret not thyself because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, because of the man who prospereth in his way. Because all of the enemies of God shall perish, into the smoke they shall consume as the fat of a lamb they shall consume away. Wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it.
Yeah. And we heard Max today release that scripture also. About
did, our
with
prophet,
our eyes,
yes. Yes. He did, your son Max, he surely did, Psalm 91. He shall not come near our dwelling, right?
Our next question, Ezekiel speaks of a stone being overturned three times. Can you please explain that?
Yes, the prophetic book of Ezekiel speaks of the Jacob's stone. Remember in the Bible when Jacob was asleep out in the field and put a stone for his pillow, and God gave him a vision of a stairway to heaven. Angels were coming down and angels were going up. And of course, it was a prophecy to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, that the Messiah Jesus would eventually open the gateway to heaven. So the children of Israel carried that stone with them in their migrations. And so after the 10 tribes were captured and by Sennacherib the Assyrian and moved into Scotland, Ireland, England, although it was not called Ireland, Scotland, England, it was called Europe, Great Britain, the prophet Jeremiah took the two last daughters of the king of Judah, Zedekiah, to catch up with the 10 tribes to marry these daughters into the tribes to keep the seed line pure. And Jeremiah took Jacob's stone with him, and it's called the stone of Scone, or the stone of destiny. And so it was first given to one of the young girls named Scuta, after which Scotland is named. So it was moved from Jerusalem to Scotland. That's the first overturn. Overturn means move. Then one of the daughters' name was Asa, and that's the king line. Every king and queen of England has come through from that daughter Asa, who was of the king line, even Queen Elizabeth. And so when they started coronating kings and queen of England, they took that stone from Scotland and moved it to England. And every king and queen of England, even Queen Elizabeth, when they take coronation, when they're coronated, they take the oath to protect the faith of Jesus Christ. So that it was moved from Jerusalem to Scotland, Scotland to England. And a few years ago, 8 or 9, 10 years ago, Scotland, as a prank, stole it from England and took it back to Scotland. Overturn, overturn, overturn. Now Ezekiel says it will never be moved again until he whose right it is comes and sits upon it, until Shiloh come, until the Lord Jesus comes and sits on it as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now you know that means that we won't hear that oath again on that. Queen Elizabeth's getting right on up there. So we're very close.
Yeah, we are very close. Okay, our next question. In Revelation 4, a voice said, "Come up hither." To whom was the voice speaking?
He was speaking to John, only John. "Come up here, I want to show you some things going on in heaven while everybody else is down there on earth, while the Antichrist is there, while my children are there." Very sadly, people teach, they teach the lifeline proverb and say the church goes up. No, the church stays right here. It was just John.
It was just John, that's mm-hmm. right. And our final question, can you please explain the word heir in 1 Thessalonians 4?
1 Thessalonians 4. When Jesus comes, he's bringing our loved ones with him who preceded us, and they're alive with him, and we'll be caught up in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, caught up means to gather. Air does not mean atmosphere, nimbus, cumulus, whatever, cirrus, and all of those stratus, those clouds. It means in the Greek to change into the breath of the spirit body. In other words, when Jesus comes, that's what that means. They are coming with him. We're not going up in the air. It doesn't mean atmosphere. It means we make the body change. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all change into our spiritual bodies. That's all it means. And so they've made that doctrine about that. So I pray that this dispels some of those lies.
Yeah, and this is the spiritual vision that we're supposed to have. You know, not everyone looks to the physical.
I know
physical.
It.
But we have to see in the spiritual eyes. Mm-hmm. And we see them here.
Yes, we do, don't we?
I took pictures of them.
You have your presentations with them.
I
see them, and Scott takes pictures of them.
So. Well, thank you, Ms. Sherry.
You people don't do that, you're not normal. Thank you, Scott Mercer.
You're
God
welcome.
Bless you. You're a blessing there. Now, I want to pray for all of you who are not saved. Pray this with me and mean it. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Save me.
Save me.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your kingdom.
To enlarge your kingdom.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, and I love you.
Thank you, and I love you.
Amen.
Amen.
In a moment, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, so I invite you to call and leave a message and tell me you were saved. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, I ask now that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. And I ask the healing energy will be sent out to the north and south and east and west. Let the pain stop. Let miracles happen in bodies. Let deaf ears hear and blind eyes see and crippled legs walk. Let cancers be gone. Let people who are about to die come back alive. Let memories come back. Let bones be made strong. Let lungs be made strong. Vertebrae, hips, toes and feet, blood be purified. A pelvis, bladders, cancers, hearts, livers, spleen, pancreas, pancreatic cancer be gone in the name and the power of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Praise the Lord. Now, you might like to call and tell me you had a miracle healing and leave that on my machine. But now it's time for your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. Just as we're in a new season to understand the mystery of God's Word, a new season of the power of prayer is being released on God's hidden ones, the elect. The elect now move into a new season of praying where the Holy Spirit's dynamite power prays through us, and we move in to the principalities and powers of the air, into the devils and demons. And we now have the power through this Holy Spirit prayer to paralyze the power of demons and the prince of the air. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, Holy Spirit power in the Greek is dunamis, which means dynamite. I've seen my daddy take a stump of dynamite and blow up a stump that was deeply rooted. So now we're in a new season. Holy Spirit praying, forget the prettiness, forget that. Holy Spirit anointing, a new season, and we go up and we blow up dynamite with dynamite power, all the powers of the devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll see you next time at the same time. Wait for my announcer. He's going to give you my number and hear me play the piano. I would invite each of you to come to my school 5 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday night. Now, I want you to go and tell. This is not yours to keep. It's a sin. Go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell. And remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. In John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." I love all of you. I thank you very much for loving the Lord and loving His word. And until next time, this is Sherry Medlock in Jesus' truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
There's no one else around. While I'm lying here in bed, you're in my heart, you're in my head. You're all I need, you're all I need. There are a million voices calling out my name. You're the one I wanna hear, so make the others disappear. We'll be right back.
I can't even walk a straight line. And every time you look at me, I'm spinning like an autumn leaf, bound to hit bottom sometime. Where would I be without someone to save me? Someone who won't let me fall. And bigger breaks than I'd ever care to confess. Oh, but you're the one who looks at me and sees what I was meant to be, more than just a beautiful mess. Oh, and where would I be without someone to save me? Someone who won't.
Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
The Spirit of the Lord in me. Hallelujah. And I know that I can find you here, 'cause you promised me you'll always be there. In times like these, it's hard to see, but somehow I have a peace you're near. And I pray that you will use my life in whatever.